Okay, so we're on Daf Hayman Base at the very bottom. We're moving along in a sugya which is the first major sugya of the Masechta, but takes up many, many dafim, and that's the sugya of Baal Ta'achar. That's the sugya where the Torah defines the prohibition of procrastinating, so at the bottom of Hayman Base, and the Gemara is looking at the pasuk where the pasuk says kidosh yedushan shem lekecha mayamech mayamech v'hoya b'chachit. So why does the Torah add the phrase, and if you violate the Yisr, then you have a chait. That could be said about any Yisr. We don't find that phrase frequently with any Yisr. Torah doesn't say, if you have chomis and Pesach, or you have a chait. If you have a chalosh Shabbos, you have a chait. So over here, sounds redundant. Ki seder neder, you make a neder. Don't delay in bringing it back. Bring it, because Baruch Hu will seek it from you. The Gemara at the very top of the Amud explains the seeming redundancy of the pasuk. God will require this of you. So that means not only in the Davos, but other forms of Hektish. What's Vahoya Bechachet? The Gemara is a drush that says that the person has the chait, not the korban. Now the Gemara now is discussing what is the significance of saying v'hoya b'chachet v'loy b'korban chachet. So presumably what the Gemara is saying is that this does not become a disqualification of the korban. In other words, that the person is in violation because he postponed bringing the korban, because he let three yom tovim go. Could it be more than a year? V'hoya b'chachet. But don't think that now the korban is a disqualified korban, which have numerous ramifications. Would the korban be disqualified? So it means I would have to bring another korban to fulfill my obligation. I had a korban chatas. If the korban is disqualified, I have to bring a different korban chatas. So the Torah is saying, v'hoyu b'chochet, means that the person is in violation of a lav. He can get malchus for it. Maybe not, because a lav shein mabasa, it's a lav that we violate by not doing something. So it wouldn't get malchus for it. One has to get kapon to do tshuva for it. However, the korban is a totally valid korban and will accomplish everything the korban is supposed to accomplish. So that's what the Gemara says. So that is what the Gemara is teaching me. That is what the Torah is saying. V'hoyu b'chochet, only b'chot. The Gemara says that principle that the korban is not disqualified. So that we have other sources for that. Gemara says v'ha mehocha nafke mida acherim nafke. There are 10 lines from the bottom. I'm sorry. What do you ask? Oh no! But so we'll answer it easy answer. That's after he already separated. He put aside the korban. He's mafresh the korban, right? That is not a full answer, because the Gemara is going to discuss that there are two kinds of lo sachar. Before and after. It's not a complete answer. We'll come back to that point. Let's see a little bit more of the Gemara, and then we'll have more greater ability to analyze the glad that Tzvi is coming in from his rural vacation over there. Okay.
On my wintry scene.
Full green foliage. Gedolim always had summer pictures, as you You never find winter pictures of Gadol on me, but every Gadol is a summer picture.
During the I guess summer. That just means I'm not a Gadol.
No, that means this is your it's your summer picture. What do you mean? So the 10 lines in the bottom, the Gemara says this idea. The korban is not the lo sa'acher. The delay does not disqualify the korban. I have other sources for that. What's another source? The Tanya Acherim. Acherim means Reb Meir. Yochel Yehei Bechor She'omra She'nosai Kipsule Yamugdoshim. The Yiposel Halacha is that the Bechor of an animal, of a kosher animal, has to be given to the Kohenim. Becomes that you bring it to Yerushalayim, and then they give it to the Kohenim. They bring a, make it into a Korban Shlomim, and they partake of it. The Gemara says that I'm supposed to bring the Bechor during the first year while it's still a newborn Bechor. The Gemara says every year I figure out which animals are the Bechor of this particular year. Now, what happens if I have a Bechor and I delayed bringing it, and it's already a year, 2 years, it's still a kosher animal? Bechor she'om rosh nosay. So I might think, Torah says that you're supposed to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash during the first year. So I might think that once the year is over, so it's no longer this korban that the Rebbeinu Shem asked for. And I might think that it's Psulei HaMikdashim, it's like a korban that became possible. If a korban has a mum, let's say if I set aside a korban, to make it easy, and the dova. I set aside a korban and then somehow it gets a moment, it has a broken leg or something. So then the halacha is that I no longer bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash. It's what you call Yotzei Luchul, and I don't bring it. It's not eligible to be a korban anymore. If I promise to bring an animal and I set aside an animal, this animal becomes a Baal Mum, so then I have to bring another animal. But if I have to bring a Korban Chatas and I have to bring a sin offering and then I set aside the animal and it becomes a Baal Mum, I have to bring another animal. It becomes Psulei HaMikdashim. It becomes Hekdash, it became Posel, and the Kohenim are allowed to partake of it. I'm not allowed to work it. I can't shear it, but I can get some benefit from it. So, but it's no longer a korban. In other words, once an animal has, so the Gemara says maybe the same thing for true in a bechor. A bechor, the firstborn that I did not bring during his first year, Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, "V'achalto lifnei Hashem alekecha." You'll eat this bechor. You'll partake of it in Yerushalayim. Maser. The Gemara says, "Masa degancha v'sirayshcha v'yitzerecha u'bechayrus bekarcha v'tzeinecha," and the Gemara includes maser sheni, things that I bring up to Yerushalayim. That's the second tithing of the first and second and the fourth and fifth year. I bring to Yerushalayim, and I'll bring the firstborn of my cattle and my sheep. So the Torah says, why are these bundled together in the same pasuk? So one reason they're bundled together is because they're very similar halachas. You come to Yerushalayim, they're not entirely the same. Masa sheni ayit, and the bechor of the korban primarily goes to the koyin, a little bit the bali. So they're not really the same. They're similar in that they both come to Yerushalayim. So the Torah says the reason they're bundled together is makish b'chor l'maser, ma maser einay nifsal mishon l'chavrita. A maser is set aside for every year. In order to figure out what is a tenth, I have to know what I'm gathering my tenth from. So I have to identify the year that this produce growed. Now, once I know the year, then I bundle together all of the produce of the year and separate a tenth. Okay? So I know what my tenth is of Tavshin Pei, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Tavshin Pei Beis, and at some point, if it's the first tenth, it goes to the Levi. If it's the second tenth of the second, third, the first and second, fourth and fifth year goes to Yerushalayim. The second, tenth of the third year and the sixth year are given out to the poor. So the Gemara says it would make sense to say that I have a year within which to bring it. But the Gemara says, no, the halacha is that Erev Pesach of the seventh year, we do be Erev Pesach of the third year and the sixth year, we are supposed to finish off and make sure that all of our Maaser has been distributed. So that's called Biur. If it hasn't been distributed by then, I have to take care of it. That's the deadline. So the Gemara says, you see that when it comes to Maaser, that you can roll over Maaser of one year to the other year. So the same, so the Gemara says, that's why Maaser and Mechorah bundled together in the same pasuk, because Mechorah is the same din. So the Gemara says, so now, what does it do with us? So now we have a source that even if I delay bringing a korban, so that I was in violation of an iser, but it doesn't mean that the animal is being disqualified. The maaser is not disqualified if I end up delaying it more than three yamim tovim, more than even I'm in violation of a lav. But the maaser is not disqualified. And the bechor, if I don't bring it up on an annual basis, is not disqualified as well. So the Gemara says, so I know this principle already, that delaying is not a disqualification. So then why do I have this phrase, v'hoya b'chochet, you'll have the chet. The Gemara says, not so fast. The Gemara says that it's true, achsoka daita chamina, hanemile b'chor delav bar hatso'i'u, abol kochim debinei hatso'ninu, eima loy lirtzu. Mara says that when it comes to Bechor and Maaser, those are primarily gifts to the Kohen, gifts to the Levi. So I've established a principle that something which is primarily a gift to the Kohen to Levi doesn't expire, so to speak, with the date. Doesn't have an expiry date. The Leisa Baal Ta'achar doesn't disqualify. Why should the Kohen lose? I delay. Why should the Kohen lose out? Why should the Levi lose out? They lost enough by not getting it on a timely basis. But why should they lose it altogether? That's all it tells me. But let's say it's something which I bring to the Rabbona Shalolam. That's what the Gemara calls it. Bar Hartzah. Hartzah is something that has to be received by the Rabbona Shalolam. Maybe if it's something which has to be received by the Rabbona Shalolam, because Baruch Hu will say, bring it when you're supposed to bring it. After three regalim, it's done. Your korban is no longer valid. So therefore, kamash malon b'hoya b'chochei, that even the violation of Baal Ta'achar, I can delay for a very long period of time, and I will be in violation of Baal Ta'achar. According to Rambam, every single day after the third yomtiv, I have a new violation of Baal Ta'achar. But the korban will still be received by the Rabbona Shalom. That's a chiddush, right? That's what Rashi says. The very, the last line, Hartzah, im lechapora im ledora. If it's the two concepts of Hartzah, this is a very important idea. What does it mean that God receives and accepts something? So we do understand that if I'm supposed to bring a korban and I'm asking for forgiveness, so we understand that it's conceivable that if I don't bring it at the right time, God is saying, sorry, you're not going to get your forgiveness. And that's why the Gemara says, I need a special pasuk, v'hoya v'chochek. The Gemara goes on to say, v'akate mi rabban ben azay naf. Right? Now the top of Amud Aleph. Gemara says, Lawrence is still pushing along the same point. Do I really need to learn anything from Hoya B'chochet? I'll give you another, I'll give you a third source. Ben Azai. The Tanya Ben Azai Oimer, Oso, Ma Talmud Lomer, what's the word Oso for? And the Gemara says in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, V'ha'ochel y'ochel mibsar zevach shlomo b'yayim ha'shlishi, lo yirutzeh. The person brings the korban, and the korban is eaten after the time when it's supposed to be eaten, or if a person brings a korban and he has plans to eat it after the time that's allotted for this korban, so then the Torah says, Pigol, it is unacceptable. The korban is not accepted. And the Gemara says, Hamakriv oso, lo yeretza makriv oso. So Ben Azai says that the Gemara tells us there's only one situation where delaying a korban disqualifies the korban. And that's in the situation where a person is extending the amount of time for eating the korban inappropriately. That's pigul. Or he's preparing the korban, having in mind he's going to eat it after the time that he's supposed to eat it. But bringing the korban late, the Gemara says, no, oh, so that's the time it disqualifies. Otherwise, it doesn't disqualify. So the Gemara says, the point of this section of the Gemara is that the Gemara understands that Chazal said, the Kadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way to say that delaying and bringing a korban, postponing the bringing of a korban, after the three Yamim Tovim, when the person was to bring it, that is a violation that the person does, but it does not impact the acceptability of the korban. It does not disqualify the korban. It would say, in Lomdish terms, it'd say it is not a psul heftza. It doesn't disqualify the korban. It's an iser gavra. It's a person's error, person's mistake. Okay, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, I really have three sources for this. Source number one is Bechor and Baiser. Why should I accept that? That is a source. But I need another source for a situation where I want to get forgiveness for the korban. So then there might be a higher bar. It might be that if in violation of an Easter and I want to get forgiveness, God says, sorry, I don't want the korban with which you violated an Easter. Okay? So then the Gemara says, but I still have a third source, and that is only Pigel, that's extending the time of a korban after it was brought. That's a situation that the animal gets disqualified and that you have to bring another animal. But any other form of delay does not disqualify. The Gemara does accept that, and the Gemara reinterprets v'hoyi v'chochet. But before we go further in the Gemara, let's analyze a little bit more deeply what the Gemara is saying over here. Gemara is pointing out that the Gemara is saying that what would the deal be if I would not have all of these sources? What would I say? What's the inference of the Gemara? In terms of the accepting a korban that is delayed, that I brought after the three Yom Tovim have passed. No, I have a korban. No. I come to the Kohen, and the Kohen starts asking me all sorts of questions. And one of the things he asks, when did you set this animal aside? And I respond, I set it aside 2 years ago. I just never got around to bring it. So the Kohen says, so now the Kohen, according to our Gemara, the Kohen says, You should know that you have to do tshuva. But the korban is a good korban. Now, the Gemara says I need a pasuk for that. So it means if I wouldn't have a pasuk, so I would assume that what? That the kohen should tell me, I'm sorry, this is past the expiration date. This korban is not a good korban. Because of... No, let's say it's within, it has to be within the right age. In other words, let's say it's within the, I gave an example of 2 years. Let's say it's within the year. All right? No, that sounds correct. I have to think it'd be more precise. Let's say the korban is within the year, but it's after the third yomtiv. So I'm in violation of Baal Ta'achar. So the Gemara is saying it's v'hoye b'chochei, you should know it's still okay. That means if the Torah would not say it's still okay, I would have to assume then it's disqualified. On what basis would it be disqualified? What would the basis be to say that? That'd be the first candidate. In other words, that if I steal a little bit of esrog, really steal it, not borrow it without telling the person. It's also called theft, but there is some wiggle room in certain situations. But let's say by a little bit of esrog, there's lachem. So that's a bad example. I steal somebody's tefillin. So am I yoytze the mitzvah of tefillin? I'm overgazing. When a person has a tefillin, please do not borrow these tefillin. As I put the sign up. All right? Anybody takes these tefillin, I am makvid. I don't want to. So very often I can work with the assumption that people want me to do mitzvahs with their stuff. Okay, but he puts a sign on, I'm not one of these guys. Right? Kavara says, most people want you to do mitzvahs with your tefillin, not by me. He has signs going, somebody else, they're the guy, but I don't want it. So I'm stuck. It's 10 minutes before sunset. I haven't put on tefillin the entire day. That's the only pair of tefillin. I figure I'll make a chesed afterward. I'll go over to him afterward. I'll ask for mechila. But let's say, is it worthwhile doing the mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah bo b'aveira? So a mitzvah bo b'aveira, we don't do. The only way to do a mitzvah is in violation of something else. And now when I put on the tefillin, it's tefillin gezula. It's a stolen tefillin. The Gemara says that in many situations, that is not a mitzvah. It has to be, it's not as broad as I'm describing it, but if the object is a stolen object, if I had to violate a law to get to the tefillin, in other words, I had to trespass to get to the tefillin, or I had to violate some lab to get, but the tefillin, but the tefillin in and of themselves are not. They had to steal a car to get the tefillin. All right, so that would not be a mitzvah of avera, because when I put the tefillin on and that bubble, there's no avera happening right then. Okay, good. Yeah, a kohen has to go into a cemetery to get tefillin. So the kohen is in violation of being mitame himself, right? But it wouldn't be a mitzvah of avera, because the tefillin in of themselves are, once he's putting the tefillin on, he's not in violation of a law. But let's say he stole the tefillin, then he is in violation of the law. So Sam is suggesting that there's a chiddush over here. That I would normally say, once I bring the korban, so it's already after the third yomtiv. So I'm in violation of Baal Ta'achar. So I need a pasuk to say, no, you still bring the korban. So that is what I think many achronim suggest, but it doesn't seem to be satisfactory because. In other words, bringing the korban, I'm not in violation of Baal Ta'achar when I bring the korban. I'm in violation of delaying of Baal Ta'achar when I make havdalah on Sukkos, Shemitah Eretz. Then I'm in violation. And that violation is there until I bring it. Right? So, right? So, and there's no, I'm not actively involved in doing it's a violation of omission. So that interpretation does not seem to be satisfactory. Because I should not be in violation of a mitzvah bov avera. I did an avera. A coin went into the Beis HaKvaras, and now I'm bringing the carbon. Now I'm putting on tefillin. So in Hudson, the Gemara said, "You heard him say Hodra Kush L'Duchta." I have to go back to figure out why do I need a posuk to teach me Today is the Yortzeit of the Sfas Emes, the second Ger Rebbe. So the Ger Rebbe writes in this Gemara that we have a principle that whenever the Torah, when it comes to anything that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, whenever the Torah repeats something twice, then the Torah is saying this is a disqualification. It's called Shina Allah Akosim La'akev. The Torah repeats it then. When it comes to Karbonos, that's to disqualify. The first is to tell you it's Aser. The second is to disqualify. So there was a suggestion by one of the great Achronim that that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That it says lo to acher, and it says could be that, or it could be veveshim shama vasa shama. Could be that there's a mitzvah asay to bring it and a lo sase. The Sfasemis didn't like that. He said it's not really, it doesn't really fit the rules. The rules are, the Torah repeats the exact same idea twice. The Torah says exactly the same, don't leave the korban over the time, twice. That's a disqualification. Once usher, then it's a disqualification. So that is, in fact, this is really Tosfos' question. Tosfos in which toast is it? Yeah. Yeah. Second last line. Well, why would I even consider that it should be so? One answer probably would be, if you look at the last line of Rashi, so Rashi says, Artsa im lechapora. So that, that gives us an insight. What Rashi's saying is, I'm coming to get forgiveness, so I should bring the, it's hard for me to get forgiveness when I am in violation of what God told me to do. I'm asking for a kapora, I'm bringing a korban. I'm bringing an ola because I didn't say kriyshma one day, because I didn't say put on tefillin one day. So now I'm coming to Kadosh for Kapor. I'm bringing a Korban Chatas because I was in violation of Shabbos B'Shogeg. So now I'm coming to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I'm saying I'm bringing the Korban, and while I'm bringing the Korban, I'm bringing the Korban with which I violated Baal Ta'acher. So then one can say that's what the Gemara says, that I need a pasuk for Hartzah. I need a pasuk for one pasuk for when it comes to Bechor and Maser. So that teaches me that there is no violation and that delaying does not disqualify the Bechor and the Maser. But a pasuk when I'm bringing a korban and I want forgiveness for the korban for it. However, that also doesn't quite answer everything because the Gemara is assuming that this would apply to a korban that I'm giving as a gift, a korban toda, korban shlomim. So Rashi says, "Im lidaron," I'm giving a present. So this is a very interesting idea. That Rashi says, when the Gemara says hartzartzom means I want to appease, it means it has to be accepted. So the Gemara says, so Rashi says, a gift also has to be accepted. Right. And when I bring a korban, it's an adava. I bring a korban toda. So Rashi is explaining to us that thanks also have to be accepted. Right? In human terms, if I do a person a huge, huge favor, and I spent 3 weeks, I use up lots and lots of favors, right? They end up spending it for whatever it is, and the guy doesn't realize it. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm okay. I didn't do it to get thanks, but I don't really feel he's thanking me for it because he has no concept of what I did. So that is even when I thank somebody, I'm hoping that I hit the spot. I'm hoping that that I say it in an appropriate way, that I understand how much Gemara says, you put yourself out for somebody, it's good to tell the person, because that creates a greater sense of friendship. So even thanks have to be mukub, have to be accepted, so to speak. Many years ago, we discussed this in Shabbos Shuba, because the very end, Shabbos Haggadah, because the very end of the Haggadah is called Nirtza. Hallel Nirtza. What's Nirtza? Nirtza should be accepted. Our evening should be accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Korban Pesach, it should be accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it means that the Korban Pesach is to give thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim. We hope that our expression of thanks was hit the spot. That's Nirtza. So, in fact, the halacha is that when it comes to Korban Shlomo, Korban Todah, we lean on the animal, and for Korban Chatas, when you lean on the animal, one says vidui, one says expresses what is the chait that I did. When one leans on the Korban Shlomim, so then we give thanks if that's the reason. I want to give thanks to Rabbanu Shlomo. So, in fact, when we discussed this, I explained it in the following way, that when a person brings a korban, so the korban is supposed to be, I say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, this korban should really be me. I messed up Hilchos Shabbos, and I'm not really entitled to, if I don't keep the mitzvahs, I'm not entitled to all of God's benefits if I don't keep the rules. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when his kindness says I can bring a korban instead. But when I'm bringing the korban, what I'm really saying is that I lost my license, so to speak, and now I'm the korban instead. So the same thing is true. A person has a tremendous yeshua. Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us out. Have a person as a nace happens to the person. So then he comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu and brings what's he bringing a korban for? What's the point? God needs my korban? But the point is, I'm saying the same thing. I wasn't entitled to the nace, right? This animal could have been me, right? I'm not entitled to the nace. Like when we say Birchas HaGoymel, HaGoymel HaChayovim, I really am not entitled to this nace. I really was Chayiv not to have this nace. So the Gemara says, so what I'm suggesting is that that's what Rashi is pointing out over here. That when it comes to a korban, if I'm giving thanks to the Baruch, I'm saying thank you for the nace, thank you for getting me out of prison, right? So, or some of giving our cars a wonderful year. So I wonder I have a huge bumper herd. So I want to give thanks to the Baruch for the korban. So if I end up doing it aveira when I'm in the korban, so what kind of hakaras atovah is it? I'm not really. So as Rashi says, in the Kapporim, they're different things that have to be accepted. So that is, the question is why was Tosfos not impressed with this? Because Tosfos says, Mechitesa, why should it even think about that the delaying of the Korban would disqualify the Korban? Rashi answered it to some extent. Rashi answered it. Question is, why didn't Tosfos accept that answer? Sam, go ahead. Yeah.
So, could be from that point of view that once all is known, in other words, you've already had your three regalim, so now I'm going to
follow. Right. So, that is, again, so Sam suggested that perhaps when Tosfos raises the question of why do I need a chiddush to tell me that the korban is a good korban? We have a rule, Ovar Zmanoi Botel Korbanoi. But he can't daven Shacharis after Chatzos, can't daven Mincha after Shkia. no longer a good carbon. Every carbon has an expiration date. So the same thing should be true over here. So that, we now come back to the point that Sam made half an hour ago. And that is that there are two kinds. And this, what you're saying is discussed, I think, in a sefer called the Tur Yavin, I think. Tur Yavin, the first time it's discussed this. So the, we are going to learn in Vav Amud Aleph that there are two kinds of Baal Ta'achar. One is once I separate the korban, but there's also Baal Ta'achar before I assign the korban. In other words, there are two. There's a Baal Ta'achar when a guy says he wants to bring a korban chatas. Then the clock starts ticking, you're ready for 3 months. There's another Baal Ta'achar. There's another way which one could violate Baal Ta'achar, and that is when he separated the korban, and it ticks for 3 months. So the reason why the Turi Oven finds these explanations not to be satisfactory is because it would only work for the Baal Ta'achar when I set the korban aside, and now the clock starts ticking. But apparently the Gemara is willing to, it seems to the Gemara does not make a distinction. And even if I have not yet set the korban aside, the clock starts, so that's clearly vayi b'cha, clearly ma'iche. So we do have an insight from Rashi. Gemara says, you should know it's not a disqualification of the korban. The Gemara says, we know from Meiser Behema, and we know from Bechor and Meiser that even though it's delayed a year, a violation of halacha, but the korban is still a good korban because Baruch Hu still accepts it. So the question is, why would I even think? We know from the halacha of Pigel. Peel the disqualification. Why would I even think that I need to have a pasuk which teaches me that it's not disqualified? So again, Rashi, we understand, because even though it may not be a technical mitzvah bo b'aveira, but the Gemara does say that, let's say a person, or even let's say bring a mum, the Gemara has a pasuk, quotes a pasuk. Hakriveinu lo lefechosecha, you can't bring an animal which is a mum, is that right? God doesn't want this carbon. So over here, we're saying that the person is in violation. So why should that be? So we understand Rashi would say that since the carbon is coming to appease the Rabbona Shalom, so to appease the Kadosh Baruch Hu when I'm doing a chait may not work. So Gemara says, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to, what's the word? What do you say in English? He compartmentalize. Because Baruch Hu will say, I understand that you're in violation of Baal Ta'achar. I understand you're delaying. However, I also, I'll get to take the korban anyways. I can, because Baruch Hu does not see one as a violation necessarily of the other. That's the, go ahead. Right. Well, he has to have the machshava when he's doing the shrita or the zrika. If somebody has a machshava before, then it would not make a pigal. So there is. So it means it's a maisa done with the machshava to ban. Yeah. So there is a mice involved. It's a mice of the bad machshav. Well, so that would be open to is it the machshava or is it the fact that I'm doing a shechita now? Right, but the fact that if I have a machshava and I'm not in the middle of doing something, that will not pass it. It's only if I shecht, having in mind that this shechita will yield a korban that I want to use. So that's why it sounds like it's a little bit of a hybrid. There is a maisa element to it. Right? So it's not purely a machshava. That's what I think.
But in general, we don't see it as if somebody's a protest, that therefore his
kabbalas
are.
Right. Well, that's the Gemara does say that. The Gemara says if a guy's a machal Shabbos, so then his korban is not accepted. But stam levarin, most of Averis, they will not get in the way of the korban being accepted. Korban, what a mumer. A mumer would get in the, but most of Averis, that's correct. So that's why the Rashi fits in so well. So Rashi thinks, so what makes this different? Because here I'm coming to appease the Kadosh Baruch. So here it's, otherwise, the question is why didn't Tosfos accept Rashi's idea? Why he didn't see that as a compelling reason why we may think that this is that he having the Neviim, because me BK Zos, because Rachel doesn't want us to come to his base of Mikdash and just go through the mitzvahs in a perfunctory fashion. So by delaying.
Idea. You want somebody to forgive you,
yeah. Right. So it's kind of intuitive or something like that, but that's not necessarily possible at all. So again, it's that is the upshot of the suya. The question is, does it make enough sense that the Gemara would have entertained the possibility otherwise? Now there is a Gemara, there is a Tosfos in Sukkah that says that by a Dvar Ritzui, it's probably based on this Gemara, by a Mitzvah Shel Ritzui, then the Mitzvah Boba Vera has a higher standard, so to speak. In other words, any Mitzvah, the Tosfos is asking over there, why is it that when it comes to Lulav, we are stricter about the Lulav being stolen than we are about a Sukkah? If a Sukkah is stolen, I can still fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. The Lulav is stolen, I can't fulfill it. So the Tosfos quotes, I think maybe Ritzva, quotes that a mitzvah sheyesh bo ritzui. If it's a mitzvah that I'm coming and I'm asking his Baruch Hu for something with this mitzvah, so then like this Rashi, then the mitzvah above Avera concept applies, probably for the same reason, right? So when it comes to Lulman Esrig, so we're dominating with that thing. How about that on Hashem Hashiach?
I mean, maybe that's what Rashi is.
Yeah, could be.
We have all kinds of things where
they are not
Rashi's
come
to say is that it falls under that category, and that's why it would not be.
And that's why we need a pause to tell me otherwise. Yeah. I just don't understand why Tosfos didn't find that compelling. That's so now the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. So now, this Vamun Aleph, the reasons of the Gemara says that Ben Azai also had this position. And Ben Azai said that Tanya Ben Abrais Ben Azai Emer also Matam Lemlifi Shanemra Loisacher Lishalmo Shamea Ni Afme Acher Nidro Bebal Yerotza. I might think that if I delay bringing a Neder, then that also would be considered to be Bal Yerot, says God doesn't want, he's not accepting it. Talmud Loimar, also below Yerot, Pigol, it becomes disqualified. The Ein Ma'acher Nidra below Yerot, but delaying a Neder does not disqualify the Neder. Does not disqualify the fulfillment of the Neder. Then the Gemara says that now the Gemara is stuck. Because now the Gemara says that I in fact have another source for the idea that violating Baal Ta'achar, delaying a korban past the three Yom Tovim, then that does not disqualify the korban. So now when the Gemara said, V'hoya b'chochei, the chait is yours, but not the korban, Who needs it? Because I can learn it from Ben Azai. The Gemara says that b'chochet b'loy b'ishtuchochet. Your chet, not your wife's chet. I thought it was, I don't know what to make of this, but I thought it was intriguing that the Manda Omar, who pushes us to learn, and according to some Rishonim, it's actually his position, b'chochet b'loy b'ishtuchochet has been Azai who never got married. Right? So let's try to unravel this a little bit. So the Chiddush, the Gemara says, we have now abandoned ship. Then he said that everything we discussed until now is true, but it comes from another source. Everything we discussed until now that it was reasonable to say that by delaying, I will disqualify the Korban, but we do not say that. Delaying does not disqualify. God compartmentalizes. We're good. But we learned that from a pasuk. We learned that from the fact that Pigel is singled out as being disqualified. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so now, when the Torah says, and you will have a chait. Why does the Gemara say you will have a chait for delay? If there are many, many averis, because Baruch Hu doesn't stop by every aver and say, the Gemara says, your wife is not held responsible for this. It's also very surprising. The Gemara doesn't say, and if I'm a chalal Shabbos, you know your wife's not responsible. And the Gemara doesn't say that if I don't want to sit this way. So why over here? Why you chait? What's the hamim in it? So both the Rashi and the Tosa refer to a Gemara. Tosa spells it out that the Gemara says that one of the averis, Rahman al-Islam, which could cause could contribute to a person losing his wife or one of his son is if the guy doesn't keep his Nidara. The Gemara has two things. The Gemara says that God forbid it can contribute to losing a child. And Tosus quotes that it could result in a person losing his wife. Now, the Gemara says, right, the Gemara goes on to say this. The Gemara says, Hoy Yosoka Daita Chamina, I might have thought, why would I even think that one's wife should be held responsible? Because Rabbi Yechanan and Elazar say that an ishtei shel odom beisam mekein mevakshin mimenu mamayin ve'eloi. The person who loses his wife, Rachmana Litzlan, if there's a situation where people seek out money and they can't get it. Now, what's that referring to? Marcos of Pasuk in Mishlei. Where Mishlei says, Pasuk says that Im ein lecho l'shalem loma yikach mishkovcha mitachtecha. So the Melech says, if you don't have what to pay, then you should not take a person's bedding. That's a simple interpretation. That's the halacha. The halacha is that if I lend somebody money and I want a security, so I can't take his coat and I can't take his bedding. I can take his coat at night when he doesn't need it, and I can take his bedding during the day when he doesn't need it. Right? That's, to me, it sounds like a very inconvenient security. Because I, the guy who lends him money, so if I want to take his coat of security, I have to come back in the morning and bring him his coat before he goes to work. And I come back at night and pick it up when he gets back home. I have to bring his bedding. If his bedding is with security, I have to take it in the morning and bring it back at night. It's very inconvenient. I can't imagine it working. It might work because the guy gets so embarrassed that I have to bring him his coat every day, or maybe the inconvenience that he can't go to Vesikin because I bring his coat right before sunrise or something. So maybe that's what gets him. It's a hard thing to imagine. But the point is that we don't agree with debtor's prison, right? That if a person owes me money, then halachas have to leave him with the ability to earn his living. I can't take his tools away from him. And I have to give him the chance to be able to go out and earn a living. I think about code, if he needs a code, and he has to be able to sleep at night. We believe that if a person is in a situation where I lend him money, so I have to give him the support he needs to be able to pay back. So Shlomo Melech says, why get involved in this? Right? He says, don't borrow money, because it's going to end up, you'll borrow money, you won't have to pay, and then you get involved in this very strange relationship of him gathering the security. However, the Chazal say there's another way to read the pasuk. Why should the Ribbono Shalom take mishkocha from your bed, means your wife? So the pasuk reads, if a person, it sounds like a person borrows and can't pay back, so then one of the possible onshin that God could select is to lose his wife, Rahman al-Islam. Now, that has nothing to do with our Gemara. Nothing to do with our Gemara. So the Tosis and the Rashi point out that our Gemara must be interpreting this pasuk of Shlomo Melech to be referring to a person who makes a promise and doesn't keep the promise. And why should I make a neder? Why should I make a pledge, a promise of money which I don't have? Because that's what's going to happen ultimately. What's the connection? So I can only speculate. You think, can see if this resonates. I can only speculate that the most important commitment that a person makes in his life is the commitment to get married. The most important commitment that's made by speech, by a word, is the commitment to get married, right? All other commitments probably don't even match it, but if they would, they are made by action, not by a word, not by the Hariyat Mekudeshusli. So possibly what the Gemara is saying is if a person doesn't take his word seriously, and he makes a promise and doesn't keep it, so then he's undermining the words that he and his wife had when they got married. Maybe that's what Chazal had in mind in observing this. Now, what does it do with us? The Gemara says that is true if a guy doesn't keep his word, but if a guy delays in keeping his word, no. Then you have to worry about this. Is if a guy makes a pledge and doesn't keep the pledge. But if a guy makes the pledge, he's good for it, but he delays. It's a different kind of isur. What the Gemara is pointing out is that we should not confuse the two kinds of isur. One isur is an isur of not keeping one's word. That's bitul neder. Loisa acher is not an aveira of not keeping one's word. Loisa acher is an aveira. Now we understand it better from our Gemaras. I'm going to Yerushalayim 3 times and not bring your korban. Leisa acher, you see from this Gemara, is a different kind of visa. Because Rav is holding us responsible that we're not prepared, that going to Yerushalayim doesn't have the excitement that it's supposed to have. Because if going to Yerushalayim had that excitement, then I would have this overwhelming obligation that I prepare myself for going to Yerushalayim, and everything would have to bring, I bring. So Bata Acher, that's what this Gemara now is pointing out to us. You should realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not holding us responsible as if we don't keep our word. Different then. Kadosh Baruch Hu is holding us responsible for not being prepared and excited about coming to Yerushalayim and having the opportunity to take care of our obligation. Okay, so next week we'll continue with some Gemaras and how this applies to Tzedakah.
Hello, Tov. Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Thank you, Neuberger.
Good to see you.
Terrific shir as always. Great to see you too.
Thank you. Thank you for joining. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.